Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Would you turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 7, 1 through 3. Now, the 2 Chronicles is really what happens at the dedication of the temple that Solomon had just built. And he prayed for the temple, and this is the response of God. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of God on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Amen.
It's time for our family prayer. And as is our custom, I'd like to invite those who would like to come up front and kneel and present their prayer or praise requests to the Lord. You can do so at this time if you'd like to do that. Others, if they can kneel right where they're at. Dear Heavenly Father, we come here this morning with a grateful heart, grateful for the blessings of the week, for the blessings of health, and for the blessing of today, the Sabbath day, the day of worship and rest. And most of all, we are grateful for your love and your grace towards us. You are an awesome and loving God, and we thank you for your watch care over us during the past week. We give you our adoration and praise as we sing and as we worship you. As you can see, some of our members and friends are not able to be here with us this morning. Some are unable because of their health, their age, or possibly they have been discouraged. And some because they are snowbirds and have traveled to a little bit warmer climate than what we have. We pray, Lord, that even though they are not here worshiping with us today, that they will also receive a Sabbath day's blessing. Now, Lord, we silently bring to you our prayers and our praises and prayer requests. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the privilege and the opportunity of bringing our concerns to you. And we know that you'll answer them in a way that is best for each one of us. We also ask for your forgiveness for our sins, because in our moments of weakness, we have failed to live up to your plan for our lives. And we ask for your forgiveness. Lord, we now ask that you bless Brother Herbert as he brings us your message. And we pray that we will receive a blessing as we hear his words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Time for the children's story.
I'm glad to see everyone here this morning, even though it's cold outside. This story is going to be just a little bit different, and I hope that the adults and everyone get the idea of the story and apply it to their own personal. The message of the day is going to be very similar along the same line, and the title of it is, "Are You Going to Help Me?" Now, really, what I want you to get out of this story is that there is a God who loves you very, very, very much and will do everything possible to save you, to demonstrate his love to you, and also you have parents which do the same thing. And this is a story about a dad and a little boy. This happened back in 1989. There was an earthquake. that flattened almost the entire area. It was 8.2 on the Richter scale. Do you know what the Richter scale is? It's a measurement of how much movement the Earth does. And it actually has a little needle, and it goes back and forth as everything shakes. And the higher it is on the scale, the worse it gets. And normally earthquakes are around 5 and 6, somewhere around in there. But this one was 8.2. 30,000 plus people died in this one city. Now, how many people are there in Midland? What is it, about 60,000, something like that, or a little less? But anyway, it's around there someplace. That means that half of the people in Midland would have died. So it gives you an idea. In fact, there was so much devastation that took place that the school where the children were was flattened. And in fact, the author says it was so flat, it was like a pancake. So there was not much standing, or essentially nothing there. This is a story about a dad. And this dad had promised his son that he would always be there. And the son believed him, and this is what the story is about. Just like God has said that he will be with you. And so this father did the same thing. And so he decided that he would leave home. So he leaves his wife and other child at home. And he said, he remembered that he had said to his son, "No matter what, I'll always be there for you." And as he looks upon this building, the tears begin to fill his eyes. As he looked at the pile of debris that once was a school, it looked hopeless. And he kept remembering his commitment to his son. He began to concentrate on where he had walked his son to class that day, that morning, remembering his son's classroom would be in the back right corner of the building. He rushed there and started digging through the rubble. As he was digging, other forlorn parents arrived, clutching their hearts, saying, "My son, my daughter." Other well-meaning parents tried to pull him off from what was left of the school, saying, "It's too late. They're all dead. You can't help. Go home. Come on, face reality. There's nothing you can do. You're just going to make things worse." To each parent, he responded with one line, "Are you going to help me now?" So remember that line. You're going to hear it several times. And this is a question you have to ask yourself. Am I going to help you now? The fire chief showed up and tried to pull him off the school's debris, saying, "Fires are breaking out. Explosions are happening everywhere. You're in danger. We'll take care of it. Go home." To which his loving, caring father asked, "Are you going to help me now? Are you going to help me now?" The police came and said, "You're angry, distraught, and it's over. You're endangering others. Go home. We'll handle it." To which he replied, "Are you going to help me now?" But no one helped. So the father has a problem, doesn't he? But let's find out what happens. Cautiously, he proceeded alone because he needed to know for himself, "Is my boy alive or is he dead?" He dug for 8 hours, 12 hours, 24 hours, 36 hours. Then on the 38th hour, he pulled back a boulder and heard his son's voice. He screamed his son's name, "Ahmed!" He heard back, "Dad! It's me, Dad! I told the other kids not to worry. I told them that if you were alive, that you would save me. And when you save me, they would be saved too. You promised, no matter what, I'll always be there for you. You did it, Dad. What's going on in there? How is it? The father asked. There are 14 of us left out of the 33, Dad. We're scared, hungry, and we're thirsty and thankful that you're here. When the building collapsed, it made a wedge like a triangle, and it saved us. Come on out, boy. No, Dad. Let the other kids come out first, because I know that you will get me, no matter what. I know you will be there for me. And God is there for each one of you. And we all know it. And also your dads and your mothers are there for you because they love you and God loves us. Okay? Let us all kneel together, okay? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we know that you love us, that you're there. Not that you will be there, but you are here. Your spirit is here, and you love each one of these young people very much. We pray now for your presence, that it will continue to be there. And may each one of us be willing to serve you, and that we will be witnesses for others of your great love, because you are here. In his name, amen.
The scripture reading this morning is found in Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, showing yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction.
Amen. Happy Sabbath. So good to be with you this Sabbath. And been here in so long, I forgot just what a beautiful edifice you have. It inspires one for worship. Beautiful edifice. You know, I want to thank Matthew for reading the scriptures so well. Thank you. I want to thank Tony Khalil for extending the invitation to me. I want to thank Reed Tate for coordinating the worship service today, my visit here. I want to also recognize some friends of mine, the Peters. Marcus, Andrea, and Micah. I know you're treating them right because they're always happy. It's good to be with you. You know, I enjoy worship. And, you know, sometimes I must think that y'all might take this for granted. It's so beautiful. And I want us to have a good time in the Lord today. What about it? I'm going to give you permission to respond if you understand anything I'm saying today. I'm a teacher, and I don't mind a few amens. And You know, if you get carried away and say, glory, hallelujah, I'm not going to complain. Well, anyway, let's make the most of our time together. Your hearts ought to be ready for the word of God, which we will read now, although it was read eloquently. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible, and it reads, and a leper came to him, Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priests and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a testimony to them. But the leper, the man, ex-leper at this point, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news about and to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but he stayed out in unpopulated areas. But they were still coming to him from everywhere. That's the kind of results we want, don't we? What a beautiful edifice. But what's the sense of building it if we can't feel it? Why are we here? What are the issues? I mean, Peter tells us to be able to give a reason for the hope that's within us. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always, always to give a reason, to give an answer to every man that asketh you, a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Well, what are the issues? How can we here in Midland be more effective? What was the secret of Jesus' success? That's the main question. Can we walk like Jesus walked? Can we duplicate his success? They were coming to him from everywhere. Jesus told his disciples that they would do greater things. John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he also do, and greater works than these shall he do. Because I go to my Father. Greater things. Greater things. The ultimate personal minister. Bow your heads. Lord, we know that it's not by power nor by might, but by your Spirit. Amen. The ultimate personal minister. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Jesus is the Creator. Jesus is the sin bearer. Jesus is the intercessor between God and man. Jesus is the Savior. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the restorer of the breach. Jesus is the one altogether lovely. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Jesus is simultaneously the Son of God and the Son of Man. Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the life. And one author said, unborrowed and underived. Jesus is the Rose of Sharon. Jesus is the bright and morning star. Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus is the Lamb slain, as it were, before the foundation of the world. Jesus is the one called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Rock, the Chief Cornerstone, the Desire of all nations. I don't know much, but I know how to talk about Jesus. He's the branch, the root, and the offspring of David. I could go on, but I want us to consider Emmanuel, God with us. God with us, the ultimate personal minister, The definite article is used with a singular noun to indicate that it represents a whole species, a whole class. Jesus represents the whole human race in the course of heaven, of the class of Homo sapiens, that's human beings, who by faith have the victory over sin. Who by faith have the victory over sin. Who are declared heirs of salvation, which includes immortality, incorruption, resurrection, if needed, and eternal life. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I love to tell the story to those who know it best. The ultimate personal minister, the, is used to indicate that someone or something is the best known or most important of that name, type, category, or species. Again, that's right, it's Jesus. Actually, he has no rivals. He is the Goel, the ombudsman, the Christos, the Monogenes, the one and only one, the unique one among all beings, created or divine. Ultimate, indulge me. Let's talk briefly about what this means. What are we saying when we talk about ultimate reality? Webster has a nice way of putting it. Beyond what is impossible to know. Beyond which it is impossible to go. Not beyond possible, beyond impossible. Ultimate starts at impossible. He speaks and is done. Fiat creation. He commands. And it stands fast. Salvation with man is impossible. A leopard can't change his spots, nor Ethiopian his skin. But with God, it is possible. A sinner becomes a saint. Impossible, but that's where the ultimate begins. The ultimate personal minister gets started. The difficult may take us a little while. But the impossible, well, it's impossible. But for Jesus, he starts with impossible. Think about that. He starts with immortality. He is the resurrection, the life. Jesus starts where we are powerless. He starts with beyond, the furthest, the most remote. He starts with the implausible. There's only one most high. There's only one greatest. There is only one highest, the utmost. Oxford Dictionary has this definition, and I like it a lot. Being the best, the most extreme example of its kind. The best achievable or imaginable of its kind. The ideal, the paragon. Ultimate only fits Jesus. We used to say fits it to a T. You can never experience ultimate reality without experiencing Jesus. Higher than the highest human thought can reach is God's ideal for man. We've never even scratched the surface of what God wants to accomplish. First of all, in us, and secondly, through us. Ultimate, utmost, highest, greatest, supreme, best, preeminent, pinnacle, ultra. The grandest reality is God. There is only one best. Many are good. And I just say that with a caveat, maybe. Jesus said that only the Father was good. Some may be better, perhaps. But definitely only one is best. Only one greatest. Only one highest. Only one most high. Only one God-man. The unique one in all the universe. The supreme revelation of God to man is Jesus. I am that I am. I am God and there is no one besides me. And this is life eternal, that we might know thee, the only true God, Yahweh, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. John 17:3. Nevertheless, when we shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. But we all with open face behold an ultimate reality, as in a glass or mirror, the glory or character of the Lord are changed into the same image, or we are born again. From glory to glory, it says, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, the ultimate personal minister. Let's say personal for last. I want to spend a little time on minister. Ministry to minister. The teacher is teaching the lesson that should be taught in the church. This is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Ephesians 4:29. Now, in modern times, a minister is a member of the clergy, the leader in a religious organization, a cleric, pastor, parson, priest, man of the cloth, reverend, rabbi, bishop, father, pope. In government, prime minister, consul, envoy, cabinet member. We used to call the Secretary of Defense the Minister of Defense. An official delegate of a government is often referred to as minister. But we got it all wrong. Etymologically, the origin and development of this word minister, and if we go back as far as possible, we discover that a minister is a person of lower status, a servant. The word goes back via the old French ministre and to the Latin minister. It meant servant, attendant. Minister was conjugated, that is derived from minus. Minister comes from minus or less. So minister is not more important, but less important. Jesus taught this. You know that the princes or ministers of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. The them is the people or the church. And they that are great exercise authority over them. But he continues, but it shall not be so among you. You, my followers, my disciples, even in the 21st century church, my church, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Matthew 20, 25 and 26. Verse 27 states, and whosoever will be chief among you. He says nothing wrong with being ambitious, but if you will be chief, let him be your servant. And one text says slave. Jesus made the connection between minister and servant. Look at verse 26 and then 27. The terms are used interchangeably. And Jesus concludes his teaching on this principle in verse 28, Matthew 20, 28. Even as, just like Jesus, if you want to walk like Jesus, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. The ultimate personal minister. Paul, writing to the church in Philippi, writes, esteem others better than yourselves. Philippians 2, 3. Minister retained this meaning when it arrived in English, and it still retains this meaning in the verb phrase to minister. But already by the Middle Ages, a specialized application to a church functionary had developed in the 16th century. That's the 1500s. This perspective hardened into the present-day clergyman in a hierarchy. This concept is a heritage of the Roman Catholic Church of the Middle Ages, and it is unbiblical. The biblical teaching on this subject is a flat organization with only one head. I repeat, with only one head. The laity and clergy are all the body of Christ. The biblical view is the priesthood of all believers. That's you and that's me. Peter taught that we are all a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of Jesus, who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. Laos, the Greek word where we derive laity and layman, is singular. One single, indivisible unit. One Lord and one body. One head for one body. One faith, one baptism. Ephesians 4:5. The entire church is the laity, administrators, pastors, prophets, teachers, preachers, evangelists, leaders, dot, dot, dot. A theology of ministry must be built on a theology of laity. A few more thoughts on minister vis-a-vis ministry. The political sense of the word developed in the 17th century from the notion of a servant of the crown. It then metamorphosized into heads of state, i.e. prime minister. Webster states, first of all, that a minister is a person acting for another as an agent or functionary, carrying out given orders. We have our marching orders, Matthew 28. A person chosen and appointed by the head of a government to take charge of some specific responsibility or department. That's church office right there. A diplomatic officer sent to a foreign nation to represent his or her government. An ambassador. Jesus, the head of the royal celestial government, declares that his kingdom is not of this world. And we as ambassadors for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 11:10. Minister is used in the Bible 101 times. The whole trajectory of Scripture is servant leadership. My servant is used over and over for leaders in Israel. The covenant people are all described as Yahweh's servants. We do God's bidding. Servant is a term of trust and responsibility. As stewards, we are entrusted with the master's goods. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. The parable of the talents is instructive because it infers, it implies not only that all that we have belongs to God, but also all that we are. Talent, treasure, time, gifts, special abilities, .. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God form, neither shall there be after me. Isaiah 43:10. Jesus used the word minister 6 times. Only once did he use the term to refer to himself. We take our cue and instruction from this statement. John the Beloved teaches in 1 John 2:6 that he who claims to abide in Jesus ought himself also to walk even as Jesus walked. He is the template, the matrix, the paragon upon which we are modeled. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus said over and over that I always do those things that my Father asks of me. I came not into the world to do my will, but the will of the Father who sent me. I always do those things that please my Father who sent me. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. I hope we're getting some framework for our mission statement. And if we want to see Jesus face to face, then we must minister. If we want our church to grow and be effective, then we must serve people. Everything we do must revolve around that. The agenda, the mission, the message, all must be service oriented. I must forget about myself and concentrate on him. Pray, Lord, help me live in such a self-forgetful way that even when I pray, my prayers will be for others. Yes, others, Lord. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Put in your notes Philippians 2, 1 through 11. I don't have time to go into that. But this is our credo, our gospel, our message, our purpose, our mission, yea, our destiny. And I remind you that destiny is a choice. It is not something to be waited for, but it is to be achieved, William Jennings Bryan. We achieve it, that is our destiny, through service. 1 John 1:7 states, but if we walk in the light, as God the Father is in the light, we are fellowship one with another. another point. You want to get along with your church family? You want to squash beefs and animosities? Serve. Obey God and minister. Serve, 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 serve. If we continue in His Word, if we continue in His Word, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, cleanses us from all sin. As we go, we are cleansed. As we serve, we are cleansed. Ministry keeps us in the straight and narrow. Ministry keeps us from backsliding. Ministry keeps us from relapse, falls from grace, embarrassment, bad choices, poor judgment. Stay busy for Jesus. Serve, 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 serve. If you don't have church office, then volunteer. The moment the majority of us get on one accord and confess our sins and repent from our sins and surrender completely and unreservedly to the Lordship of Jesus, then the Holy Ghost will be poured out in latter rain doses. When the majority of us put away every evil thing and sinful practice, God has promised to meet our faith with His Holy Spirit. When we come together to seek His face, to confess our sins, to pray for one another, to forgive one another, then and only then will the Holy Ghost be poured out without measure. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. Let a man or woman so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. That a man or woman be found faithful. The Lord requires certain things of us in order that He may do certain things in us. God does not arbitrarily demand either that we serve Him or that we recognize Him with our gifts. But He has so arranged that when we work in harmony with Him in these things, there will flow to our hearts great spiritual blessings. If, on the other hand, we fail to cooperate with Him in carrying out His plans, we deprive ourselves of His richest blessings when we need them most. Testimonies, Volume 9, page 248. We're still talking about Jesus, the ultimate personal minister. And now I want to turn our attention and focus to the concept and principle of what it means to make ministry personal. First of all, personal is a word not used at all in Scripture. But oh, how personal Jesus made His ministry. He made you feel like you were the only person who mattered in the world. Other words for personal are private, individual, own, intimate, familiar, inner, secret, confidential, .. personal, of, affecting, or belonging to a particular person rather than anyone else, done or made by a particular person, involving the actual presence or action of a particular individual. Personal means that it cannot be done by proxy. If it is done by you, then it's personal. If it is done for you, it's personal. Of or concerning one's private life, relationship, emotions, rather than matters connected with one's public or professional career. Referring to an individual's character, appearance, or private life. We believe in a personal God. He's closer to you than you think. When Jesus came down from the Mount of Olives, great multitudes followed Him. Jesus had just given His greatest sermon, His greatest public address, the Sermon on the Mount, which included the Beatitudes. Jesus taught practical godliness, how to respond to mistreatment. He magnified the Ten Commandments by teaching that God's law was spiritual, that keeping the letter of the law was not enough. Even if you looked at the woman, you committed adultery. Even if you hated your brother, you committed murder. He taught how to witness and minister to others. He taught how to pray, how to maintain spirituality, how to resist the devil. He gave warnings against false prophets and many other teachings. The sermon is recorded in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. And after Jesus had finished his public ministry that Sabbath, the Bible records that he came down off the mountain. When we come down from this mountain of Sabbath worship today, we have to engage in personal ministry. Jesus came down off the mountain and engaged in personal ministry, the ultimate personal ministry. Let's learn from the Master. Now that we have a better idea of what we're actually talking about, and I have to admit this is all introductory. You're going to have to invite me back. What we're actually talking about when we use the expression, the ultimate personal ministry. Mark 1, beginning at verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now that's a compound sentence. Six phrases in one sentence. Let's take them one at a time. There came a leper to him. The leper somehow got some good information. So he went to the right person. He goes to Dr. Jesus Christ. The leper in this drama represents each and every one of us, individually and collectively, Mount Midland Church. We are all sick and deformed and dying. And unless we find Jesus, unless we go to Jesus, we are doomed. We will surely die. Sin is our dreaded disfiguring disease, and it's at unprecedented numbers. Universal infectation, a worldwide pandemic. We, even in the church, we are a leper colony. And there's only one cure. And the leper, bless his soul, found Jesus. The leper came to Jesus. I don't know where he was or what he had been doing, but he Googled Jesus. He utilized MapQuest. He accessed his GPS. He searched and he searched with all his heart. You see, he was desperate. He was sick and tired of being sick and tired. He had suffered long enough, and so he found Jesus finally. He cleared his calendar. He made time for Jesus. You know, it takes time to be holy, church. You won't have time unless you make time for Bible study, for prayer. Time is the stuff that life is made of. Benjamin Franklin said that. And life is the stuff that happens to you while you wait for the right moments that never come. Today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. The leper found Jesus that Sabbath. He was sick. He needed help. And he went to the only one who could help him, beseeching him, beseech. The leper prayed. He asked, he begged, he pleaded, he petitioned. He made supplication. He cried out to Jesus, help me, Master. Have you been there? Please, Master, if you would be so kind, help me. The Greek parakaleo, to call to one's aid, to long for, to desire. To express your need. Jesus on the cross, I thirst. Have you been there? We haven't beseeched Jesus because we haven't suffered enough. When it gets bad enough, we will accost Jesus just like this leper. Kneeling down to him, the leper demonstrated that he knew exactly who he was talking to. He assumed the proper posture, the proper stance, the correct posture. He showed proper respect and reverence. He knelt down to Jesus before articulating his request. That's worship right there. The leper is saying, I know who you are. These others might not know you, but I know who you are. You are the Word of God, which created everything. The monogenes, the one and only of the Father, the unique one, the only begotten, full of grace and truth. And I need you, Christos, captain of the Lord's host, the anointed one, the Messiah, the desire of all nations, the Goel, the Alpha and the Omega, heaven's darling and the earth's redeemer. You are the friend of sinners. Help me, Lord. Master. Somebody out there say, Master. Master. So the leper kneels in supreme maximum devotion. He adores and worships Jesus, my Jesus, saying unto him, the leper articulates his request after he approaches Jesus in the correct way and assumes the proper posture. Often we receive not because we ask not. And James 4:3 teaches that ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss. Either is not of faith, or we don't approach God in accordance with his majesty and awesomeness. We don't come correct, but this leper comes correct. If thou wilt, that's how to pray, thy will be done. This is what I need, Lord. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Thou can make me clean. Thou can make me whole. I know nothing is too hard. I know you can do the impossible. That's where you get started. I know you created heaven and earth. You can make me clean, Lord. You can heal this dread disease. Anybody out there need fixing today? You can fix whatever problem I have, Lord. That's how to pray. Acknowledge God's sovereignty. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. You are the boss. You are in charge. Master. Sovereign ruler of heaven and earth. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Not well, not cured. Clean. I'm clean because of what Jesus did. Your sins are forgiven. After all, you made everything, Lord. There wasn't anything made that you didn't make. You can definitely do it for me if you will. You can make me clean. I can be a new creature. Old things will pass away. Behold, all things will be made new. The leper knew about Naaman's skin becoming like a newborn baby some 800 years prior. Jesus himself said, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Isaiah 43:19. Church, Midland, Jesus specializes in making new things. Can you use some newness today? A new start, a new beginning, new appetites, new desires, new thoughts, new dreams, new aspirations. New taste, new friends, new success, even a new church, even a new day of worship for those who haven't grown into it yet. Brace yourself. Behold, look out. I will make all things new. New. This is a new year. Let's not let it be business as usual. What do you want Jesus to do for you today? Put that on the altar. What do you want Jesus to do for you? Think about it and claim it. Not my will, but your will be done. The leper is ready now for Jesus to work. The leper is ready for the move of God. Brace yourself. The leper has surrendered his plans, his ideas, his will, his heart, his mind. He has surrendered the wisdom of men. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Jesus I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I'm going to ask Sister Kathy to come to the piano. Please, play something soft. The leper is singing now. He's not healed. But he believes God. He believes God. His faith has grabbed hold of Jesus' power. Have you grabbed hold of Jesus' power today? He bows down to God and exclaims, I bow down to thee, my creator and redeemer. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, humbly at thy feet I bow. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The doors of the church are open. I'm not going to draw this out today. I'm not going to draw this out. The Holy Spirit has already spoken to you. I know He has. No doubt about it. So when I make this call for baptism, don't hesitate. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Get up and come to the altar of God. This is your opportunity. Let this be the first day of the rest of your life. Listen, if you want a new beginning with Jesus, Jesus is offering it through baptism. Come right now. All to Jesus I surrender. I'm so happy that everybody in here is in the fold, has made up their mind that they're going to serve Jesus the balance of their day. I'm so happy that everybody in here got it right with Jesus, and that is whole and saved and ready for the second coming. Ready to meet Him in peace. Oh, that's good news. And so I'm just going to give one more appeal. If you want to leave this place hand in hand with the minister, the ultimate personal minister, that you want to commit yourself to ministering to the needs of those in your home, first of all, in your community, your neighbors, and on your job, I'm going to ask that you stand with me right now, declaring that I'm going to be a minister for Jesus. I'm going to be a servant. I'm going to give to everyone that asks of me. I'm going to serve everybody I know. I'm going to tell everybody I know about Jesus, and that is, He's coming soon. Everybody has to know who Jesus is. Oh, thank you, Father, for your church and for your people. Thank you for a body of believers, Lord, that are ready to work hand in hand with you and minister in this community, to brighten the corner where they are. Oh, Lord, you are a light shining in a dark place. Lord, each person standing today is claiming that they too will be a conduit for your light. We ask, Lord, that your Spirit will breathe on us. Breathe on us like you breathed on your disciples before you went away. Amen. Lord, we're preparing, Lord, for that latter rain. Lord, help us to get our lives in order. Lord, we know you're not going to pour out your Spirit for us to watch TV. You're not going to pour out your Spirit for us to continue business as usual. But Lord, you're going to pour out your Spirit for ministry, for service, that we can bring this thing to a close, Lord, that others will see our Father and see you in us, and glorify our Father who is in heaven. Oh, Lord, we forgive. We ask for your forgiveness for where we've been half-stepping. But, Lord, from today forward, Lord, we're going to claim the victory that you've promised your last day people. Lord, we're going to claim that victory right now. Bless us, empower us, ennoble us, elevate us. Give us the courage, Lord, to resist the devil. And Lord, we pray that everyone standing will say, the line will not break where I stand. Lord, I might not do no conquering, but I'm going to at least occupy the place where I stand. Bless this church, Lord, in a special way. I ask for healing on the members, Lord, who need healing. I ask for understanding, Lord, where there's baffled hearts and minds. Lord, give us wisdom and help us to be what we claim to be, authentic, third angel messengers, is my prayer in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen.
And he showed me a river of water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you're a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.